Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I take you for a ride on the devil's ship. I'll take you for a ride where you sink or swim. Now come with me and let this story begin.
Tony, welcome to the podcast.
And tell us, thank you for having me, man.
This is good. We had the best part of the podcast before the podcast.
That's right. We were out there.
That's what always happens.
Shooting the shit for 20 minutes. Now I have nothing left to tell you.
So. We're done. I've heard everything.
It's been fun, guys. Beautiful place.
Thank you for coming. Next time. Hey, how did you get started in acting when you were here in Montreal? You did theater first, or what was the...
Yeah, theater was always my big... my first love. I don't want to sound corny or any shit like that, but
trust me, if anybody gets you, it's me.
It was always my first love. I always loved entertaining ever since I was a little kid. I remember, I'm going to date myself by saying this, but they used to show Saturday afternoon matinees on CFCF when it was called CFCF 12.
I remember.
Back in the day. Yeah. And I that's where I kind of got the love of the whole performance thing, and theater was my first love. The first time.
How'd you get into it though? When you
went
saw
to
that?
School. Well, I mean, like I said, I was always trying to get involved at a very young age, but you know, there were really no opportunities unless I was in school or unless I did the school plays and stuff like that. But when I went to college, I went to Dawson College at the Dome Theater, and that's where it all started. Yeah.
Fuck. And then what about when Montreal was a hotbed for filming? That must have been amazing because you had options.
It was. And like I said, I think I got on maybe a couple of years. I really got into film in the 90s. And Montreal at that time was fucking exploding. Like, I mean, I swear to God, there were the period maybe from 1996 up until 2002, 2003. I would go from set to set to set. Like, I mean, it's like I was doing 7-8 movies a year, or commercials, industrial videos, you name it.
You were living the dream of an actor.
Living the fucking dream. It was a good time to be an actor back then.
When did you feel the downturn?
I'd have to say probably in the late 2000s. For me anyways, like, I don't know if it was for the whole industry, if they just like got fed up of me and they didn't want to call me.
No, I think during the early 2000s when it started, yeah, we got a lot of productions that were moved out of here and they were going more towards Ontario and Vancouver.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm like, my understanding, and like I said, don't quote me on this, I'm not versed on this stuff very much, but my understanding is that the government wasn't adjusting with the tax credits like everywhere else was adjusting. And so, you know, because of that, people would say, well, fuck you. If I'm going to, you know, get better bang for my buck elsewhere, I'll go elsewhere. That's what they did.
And what did you shift during that time? Did you say, I got to move? What did you do?
No, I was pretty fortunate. I was able to stay here because I was working a lot in French. Mm. And the French side of things wasn't affected by that. Like, I mean, they're going to do their productions here.
Regardless, they don't
like
care.
It or not. Yeah. They don't give a shit, exactly. So whether they like it or not, here's where they have to do them for the people from here. And so I was fortunate that I was still working, you know, quite a bit in French. And so, yeah.
It is amazing. Our showbiz here, the Quebec showbiz, it's amazing that it exists.
Yeah, there's actually like a star system and everything with this on the French side. It's amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. I tell you, like, I do a lot, especially in the last few years, I've been working a hell of a lot more in French than in English.
And you've been having fun.
Fucking love it, man.
Do they make you play the like a criminal?
Always, man. Always, look at this face, fuck. Would you cast me for anything else?
You're a good mobster. I want to have you as a goon.
That's it, exactly. A lot of people, they take offense to that. They say, I'm being stereotyped. Look, it is what it is. You know, it's like I'm working, I'm happy.
I'd rather play the I've seen this is what upsets me, is they would have shows here and they would show an Italian mobster or a Greek mobster or anything, but it's always either a French Canadian, and it's obvious that they're not Italian or Greek.
Exactly.
I was like, get a Greekster and Italian to do this.
Exactly.
There's a big difference.
Fucking A, man. Authenticity is what they call it, I think.
I think. So okay, it's good that you're still getting rolled. You start doing it in French. Yeah. Because you're like me, you're probably trilingual.
Exactly. Yeah. Greek, French, Italian.
Okay.
I gotta tell you something. Pantelis is your last name?
No, my first name.
Your first name. Okay, yeah. All right. Because I used to have a good buddy of mine back in the day. His name was George Pantelis.
I know a Jimmy Pantelis.
Really?
Yeah.
How old?
People, he's my age. He's late 30s.
Late 30s? Yeah. Maybe it's his son.
Maybe they're related,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe they're related. Who knows, man?
I remember people were like, are you guys related? Like, what's the first fucking name and the last name? That doesn't, it's not how it works. But yeah, it's my first name, yeah. But there are some people whose last name is Pantelis, exactly. Which always shocks me.
Yeah.
It's like your last name being Steve.
Exactly, yeah.
Very
Stevens,
odd.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows?
Stevens, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess that happens. And what, because I know you did a lot of theater, you talked about working with Cocomelo.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Cocomelo, how did it come about? We've worked on one, two, at least four plays together. We did two at the Centaur together, two or three at the Centaur, three at, I don't know, fuck anyways.
The Centaur was torn down, no?
Centaur, no.
It's still there.
Still there. Yeah, Centaur still there. It's thriving. Well, thriving, fuck, as much as English theater can thrive in Montreal. You know, it's still there. So anyways, we did a few shows together, so I've known Guido for like many, many years. And I remember he had written this one-man show, and he wanted to really turn it into a show, like a theater piece, not only a stand-up comedy piece. So he called me and he goes, you know, would you like to be my third eye and like kind of, direct it for me and we'll steer it in the right place. And I said, yeah, sure. I love it. Yeah, I'd love it. So he sent it to me. I really liked what he did. And from there we started working on it and did very, very, very well for him. And
yeah, won awards.
Won awards in New York, believe it or not. Yeah. It was this, it's called Solo Festival in New York. And we were there, it was just in March that we were there, I think. About 7-8 months ago we were there. And we actually submitted the show to the to this festival and we won Best Comedy.
Which is insane.
It's crazy.
There's so much competition out there.
I know. And like I said, like I was telling you before, we've been to Toronto, we've been to Hamilton, Sault Ste. Marie, Victoria, Ottawa. We've been all over the place.
The Italians support each other.
Yes, you know, the Italians support each other, and it's tough because like there's so many talented Italian comedians in Montreal. You know what I'm saying? Like the two Guidos, well, although one Cocomelo's gone, but Guido Grasso's still here, and so many of them. Yeah, so many Joe Cacchione, so many of them, and everybody.
Massimo left, but Massimo was amazing.
Massimo, I love
one of the funniest people on the planet.
Did a show with Massimo. I got a chance to work with him on a show, and he's a sweetheart. Actually met him. He's in New York now.
Yeah.
We actually hooked up.
Is he back in New York? He went to New York, Florida. Is he back in New York now?
Look, I mean.
When'd you see him?
March.
Okay, he's in New York. Good.
Yeah, yeah. When I was there with the show. Yeah.
Love Massimo.
Yeah, no, he's a sweetheart. Right. Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of good comedians, and it's tough. I don't know how everybody like does it, how everybody survives, because they're going after that same entertainment dollar from the Italian community here in Montreal. But I guess it's working for them because people are going out to see them. You know,
and there's not that many if you think about it, because there are a lot, but for the whole community, there aren't that many. There's other options too. You know, like let's say the French community have way more options.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure. Yeah. But they also got a lot bigger population, you know.
That's true too. But the Italians, there's a lot of Italians in Montreal.
Last I heard, we're about a couple hundred thousand, but that includes, you know, the older people.
We're not going to come.
We're not going to come out to see this stuff. And
When you were in Punisher Warzone, right? That was
correct.
The one?
Yeah, I was in that movie, right?
Did you get to meet Kevin Nash?
No, I worked with Ray Stevenson. My scenes were with Ray Stevenson, and Dash Myhawk.
Which is still cool.
Yeah. Ray Stevenson, God bless, rest his soul. He was a really consummate professional, as they say.
How did you enjoy that experience?
It was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, you could tell this guy had a theater background because we rehearsed like the same thing like 50,000 times before like we got on set. He just wanted to rehearse. And it was just like the tossing of keys to him. He just had to, it had to be like second nature, you know?
It had to be perfect.
Yeah.
Look at this. Poseidon's looking up the Punisher.
Oh, yeah. There I am.
That's Tony.
There I am. Yeah. Yeah, I played Detective Saffiotti. I'm the guy who lets the Punisher get away when we finally catch him. So.
As you did the right thing. We need right. him. Yeah, we need a vigilante him. Out there
we
helping out.
We need him. Yeah.
So were you a guy that when you got that role, when you were young, did you like comic books? You're like, oh, this is amazing. I get to be part of this world. Or you didn't give a shit?
Nah, I wasn't into comic books.
You're just like, it's a fun role.
Fuck. I used to read the Archies. You know, I was that kind of guy.
Okay. No. Because for me, it would have been I'd lose my mind if I got to be in a comic book movie.
Yeah. No.
Because I loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, now I'd love to do Spider-Man if I got a chance.
My favorite superhero.
Only because of Marissa Tomei, though.
God damn. She's still hot. Fuck. How crazy that this woman's might be getting hotter. Her, Kate Beckinsale, and Selma Hayek refuse to age properly.
Exactly. And I God bless them for that because, like I said, she's my crush. Marissa Tomei has always been and will always be my crush.
What is she up to now?
I don't know.
Let's extend an olive branch to her. We got to create a project that she needs to be part of.
Let me know. I'll be here. I'll fucking serve coffee. I'll do whatever you guys want.
Because I can get on and invite Marissa Tomei. Let's we'll pay for her flight.
Yeah, really. We'll do whatever.
I'd pay for a flight if I could get Marissa Tomei here. I like her enough, yeah.
Listen, you know what? I'll go pick her up. I'll drive her wherever she is. Give us a chance to get acquainted. You know, 7-8 hour drive if she's in New York, wherever.
And now they killed her, too. They killed her off in Spider-Man. Yeah.
Did they?
They had to kill her, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I didn't see the last one.
Yeah, the last one, she died.
Thanks for that. And
I mean, it was a good one.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. Okay. It was very emotional.
I'll try to enjoy Pantelis.
Her career is having a bit of a resurgence from Spider-Man and everything.
Yeah, no, she's just one of those actresses that can reinvent herself. You know, she's such a good actor, and I just think that you could put her in pretty much any role and she'll come out doing well. You know,
Travolta was like that too.
Yeah,
when everyone gave up on him,
Tarantino brought him back to life, man.
And it was like, fuck, why did we pass on this guy so much? Exactly. He's actually.
A lot of it was like his own doing from stuff that I've heard. You know, like he was offered the movies that made Richard Gere a superstar. Like he was offered.
He said no.
And he said no. He was offered an Officer and a Gentleman, and he refused it. So they went to Richard Gere, and he was offered American Gigolo, and he refused it, and they went to Richard Gere.
What was his reasoning, you think? Or did he say?
I don't know. These are just. You know, I like to read this kind of trivia. And,
me too. I love this kind of stuff.
That. Yeah.
It always shocks me to hear someone thinking, I was too good for this. Or I wasn't. Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction, there's a lot of little, for example, I found out that Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Who's doing terrible now.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. He wanted the role of Vincent Vega.
Okay.
And he goes, look, this is the role I'm going to play. And then I think he wanted Jules. And Tarantino was like, I have a guy for it as Travolta, reread it. And then, you know, he was trying to convince him. And then after a while, he's like, I see why you wanted me as whatever the fuck his name was.
Exactly, yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And he killed it.
Yeah.
He became kind of the star.
Exactly. Yeah. No, he was always,
Speaking of Tarantino, you know who I don't see enough of anymore? Tim Roth.
Tim Roth.
And I love Tim Roth.
Yeah.
He has the wackiest accent ever.
Where did I see him in? It must have been an old... Did he do a Christmas movie or something?
Well, he may have. I don't know what he's up to now.
An older one. He played the Lost in New York, the Home Alone series.
Well, I don't know if it was in Home. It would be amazing to see him in Home Alone, I love this guy.
I think so. I think he was in Home Alone too. Was it him or am I thinking something? Nah, wasn't him.
I remember him in Four Rooms. He was that bellhop. Great. Him in Four Rooms was amazing. Yeah. This guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tim Roth gets the respect he deserves.
No, there's a lot of actors like that, like him, John Malkovich. These guys are like...
John Malkovich is a great actor.
These guys should be working. They should be in everything, these guys.
They're real actors.
Yeah.
El Camino Christmas, maybe?
There you go. That's the Christmas movie. You see, I knew it was a Christmas movie. What the
fuck? Tim Allen, too.
Yeah, I saw this.
I should check this out.
This is really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like both Tim Allen and him. Oh, is that Jessica Alba?
Of course it is.
It is.
Yeah, Get the fuck out of here. Okay, I'm going to watch this.
No, it's something to... Good. I'm going to watch it again tonight. I watched it a couple of years. I knew it was a Christmas movie, and for some reason.
Oh, a lot of actors I like are in it.
Yeah.
Oh, El Camino Christmas. Okay, good to know.
El Camino Christmas. Very good. If you like those dark comedy type movies, which are my favorite.
Yeah, the best ones.
The best ones. Yeah.
Well, I like this kind of shit.
Yeah, you're gonna like this movie then.
I'm liking the cast.
Yeah. Poseidon, you saw it, right?
Yeah, I watched it a while ago, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth rewatching. It's worth rewatching. I'm watching the Bad Santa movies now again. I worked with Billy Bob Thornton.
How was that? He seems like a guy I want to hang out with.
He's a sweetheart. I mean, we just had one scene together in a movie back in, I don't know when, but just one little scene together. But then I got to talk to him a little bit when they have the rap parties and stuff like that. Sweetheart of a guy.
He seems like a real dude.
Real sweetheart of a guy. Really, yeah.
Do you now, because you went through it, you went through the 90s period where you could be in films because you're in Montreal, but you couldn't, it was out of the realm of possibility of creating your own film, everything.
Right.
And then the switch to full digital happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're at a point where if you would want, with all your experience, you could write something, film it, and do it yourself.
I did it.
That's what I want to talk about.
Nice segue there. Oh. I like it. That is, guys.
How did we get to that point? That's what I'm saying.
This, yeah. Good. Yeah, no, I had done written a play, and we did it at, we put it on stage 3 years ago at the LDV Center, which, as you know, you performed there.
Beautiful.
Freaking beautiful venue, man. Gorgeous.
Underrated, underappreciated, unknown. That's the big thing.
Unknown, underused.
Italians know
it. It's ridiculous.
I know it because I hang out with the Italians, exactly, but people don't know about it.
People don't know about it. And it's like, it's been years we've been trying to get this thing off the ground. But anyways.
I'm going to step in now. We're going to start doing stuff.
Fucking right, man. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
And so we did the show. It was extremely successful. We did it at the LDV Center in 2020, January of 2020, just before COVID. If you want to talk about fucking luck, we closed January 26th. And we were already starting to hear stories because in Italy, like the pandemic started a few weeks before it started here in North America. So, you know, in the Italian community, we were already hearing all kinds of shit of what's happening in Italy and fucking boom, within a few weeks, everything shuts down. So we were lucky to get the show done then. But anyways, because of that show and being locked up for, you know, fucking couple of years doing nothing, I wrote a screenplay based on it. And last year we actually filmed the movie, and
tell me about that process, because it's not easy filming a fucking movie.
No, it's not, especially when you have no money, and like, you know, we had no money. It's like,
and everything costs.
Everything fucking costs.
Even the food, feed people while they're exactly. Everything costs
exactly,
money.
Exactly. Like I said, we called in every favor, beg, borrow, and steal from everybody, and people were very glad to help us. Like, I mean, someone gave us their house for like 8 days.
Oh, okay, that's a commitment.
Wow. Yeah, 8 days. They let us work in their house like virtually 12, 13, 14-hour days. And it was just amazing that someone would do that for us. And that's one of the girls who was in the movie, Pina De Blasi, her parents, fucking sweetheart. She's a sweetheart, her parent, everybody like that.
Team players, that family.
Oh, yeah, big time. And we got the social club on Saint-Viateur.
They let you...
2 days. These guys virtually shut down for 2 days so that I can go in there and film a movie.
Can't get any more social than that.
Exactly, man. And these guys, they were just amazing with us. And like I said, and then same thing, you know, I went to my aunt's house, went to my cousin's house, went to the Gallonero, the restaurant, and he gave us the place a whole fucking day. The LDV Center gave us their offices to shoot. And everybody we asked helped us out. And you know, my sister-in-law's a caterer, so she fed everybody. You know what I'm saying? And it's
very important.
Yeah. And people did it for pennies on the dollar from what they would usually make, like literally. And
they were just happy to be part of this.
Happy to be part of it. It was a good script. They liked it. They liked the project. I guess I have more friends than enemies out there. So
always a bonus.
Also people were willing to help out and stuff.
And what did you do with it?
Right now, we're still, believe it or not, in post. And again, it's taking so fucking long because we don't have money. So,
you know. Color correction, everything, audio.
Exactly. Audio, color correction, music, all of that stuff. We have to, you know, we're still raising funds to get that finished.
Music, are you looking to get funds so you could get rights to songs? Or are you trying to get someone to do original shit?
We have someone who's going to do original shit. And luckily, our director, Tony Green, he's an ex-music guy, so he has a good catalog of songs himself.
I got some guys, too, if you want.
Yeah, good. Fantastic, man. Excellent. Yeah.
They'll hook you up.
Yeah, exactly. Good. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll give you their contact.
Give me their contacts after this.
I don't know if you ever saw the intro of this podcast. If you ever watch the intro, you're going to see the song. It's a song by my friends Orchid. They're a Montreal rock band.
Okay.
Great. People love it. And like, where the fuck did you get that from? And I'm like, it's... My buddies,
yeah,
in Montreal.
For sure. Yeah,
yeah, they
for
make
sure.
great stuff.
Yeah, no, we're like I said, there's one song that we want to get the rights for because it's written into the movie, and that's Desperado by the Eagles. But we will never get like the actual master of the Eagles doing it. We would have to like re-record it, which is cool.
What's the pricing now on stuff like that? I remember we went through a period where film music was so expensive. Then they became reasonable, and then I heard it went back up. Did it go back up?
I have no idea.
Because I heard when streaming came, they started to be reasonable because they were losing money.
Yeah, exactly.
They wanted more of their songs in pop culture. But I don't know now how it is, but I remember at one point, it was no short film would ever, independent, would ever have a real song.
Yeah, exactly, especially if you want the original artist. If you take like a karaoke version and you're going to re-record it yourself, that kind of shit.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, yeah. It's not the same. But
So it's still expensive.
I think it's still expensive. Like I said, I haven't really researched it, to be honest with you.
What would you do? I guess you reach out to, let's say, whoever owns the rights, Columbia, and you go, hey, can we use
this? Yeah, exactly. They have people that do music clearance. Yeah, they have people that do music clearance, and you contact them, and then they just contact the right people, and they'll get the music cleared for you if they can. You know?
It's a pain in the ass.
Fucking A, man. Nothing's easy. Nothing is easy.
What are you going to do once it's done? What do you want to do with
it? Hopefully
festivals. Okay.
We'll do some pre-screenings for sure. You know, see how it plays out with an audience, kind of like test audiences, if you will. And then it's on to the festivals, and hopefully we get a distribution deal and eventually a broadcaster. So,
talk to me if there's anything I can help with. I'd like to fucking help out.
Man. No, for sure, man. Yeah. Stuff like this, getting the word out, that's very, very, very helpful. When the time comes, I'll let you know.
For sure. Yeah, I want to help out with this.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You know who would be good, but there's nothing he could do now? But I don't know how to implement him, but I've always wanted to implement him, is Vincent Guzzo. Because he was a big, he must have loved movies for creating those for fucking theaters.
For sure.
Then there was the downturn, streaming. He didn't really adapt, and neither did most of the theaters. You don't know what to do, right? I have my theories on what you should do. I don't think he's going to listen.
Right.
But guys like him, there needs to be a way that he can fit into this, because I think he'd be the perfect partner
100%
for taking over the new film era.
He is the type of person that he has this. He does have his own built-in distribution. He could just put it in his theaters and that's it.
And he loves movies.
Yeah, he does. He does. I know he worked with like, I believe he worked with like Vittorio Rossi. Vittorio Rossi did a movie a while back, and I think he worked with him in getting it up on his screens and stuff.
You know what I like about him? This is what I heard. This is a story I heard about him, about how he started doing his business that makes me like him. You know which one I'm talking about, Poseidon? Is I heard that, because the way it used to work is every movie theater in, let's say, Canada, I guess would get the film reel from a distributor that would then, and it was super expensive.
Right.
So from what I heard, I remember he was like, yeah, this is insane. He was just going directly to Warner Brothers, he's like, I'd rather get it cheaper.
Fucking right, yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, this is the kind of guy I like.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't sit there and be like, oh, I guess I'm out of business.
No,
man. He's like, fuck you, I'm going to the source.
He sells his own brand of candy now at the theater.
But that's what you got to do.
That's it.
Yeah, Mr. Sunshiners. Good fucking him. Yeah, that's what you got. This is the kind of shit. These are businessmen. These are people who aren't going to fold.
That's it. Cut the middleman, man. If you don't need him, exactly.
If he listens to me and he moves into the fucking future of streaming and takes advantage of it, because he could.
Yeah, he could, for sure.
He'd dominate the whole scene.
That's the kind of guy that could definitely set up a streaming service, for sure.
What he needs to do is take advantage of, because he has all these venues. So streaming premieres at your venue, but you also bring in, let's say you're doing it in Montreal, let's say you have a short film or someone has an action movie that's going to be streaming on a service. First, before everything, is you have events there. You show up. You take photographs, you meet the actors, people get excited, hyped about it, they go talk about it, photos go on Instagram, they're like, I met him, that's what he's got to take advantage of.
100%.
Get these kids out there, because they're all on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to get them to be excited.
Exactly.
Once they're excited, you build a...
Exactly. Yeah.
And that original shit, that's going to be the tough thing, is get people to sign with him for original content before anyone else.
You'd be surprised how many people would be willing to do that, because
of course,
people want an opportunity to do their projects. So, like, if he liked what I did, for instance, I would be more than happy to go to him and say, look, you're going to produce this, you're going to finance this, I have this script for you, we can do this, and let's take a shot.
He'd become the Netflix of Quebec.
Yeah.
And then it would expand, be that of Canada, and then he's that type of guy, he could do that. He'll take the steps.
And that's the kind of thing, the beautiful thing about making movies, and even stuff like you're doing, you and Poseidon, stuff that you guys are doing, is that it's very transportable. You know what I'm saying? It's very transportable. You don't need to be, like, theater, you got to pick up your whole fucking gang and bring it from show, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. This, it's like, you make your movie here. If it's good, it's good. It could be good anywhere and everywhere. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you just put it out like that, so.
And then now the cost, though, there's still costs. It's so much cheaper because of digital.
100%.
So much cheaper. Yeah. And you have easier access now to talent worldwide than you would have ever before.
Now you can know who everybody is. You know what I'm saying? Before, I remember back in the day, the casting directors, they used to have fucking books like this of people's picture and their typed up resume in the
and you got
to
guess
picture. And like, is this picture current? Does this guy still look like it or not? It's fucking 18 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Now you FaceTime them. They're like, show me your face. What do you look like right now?
Look like exactly. Yeah. People do self tape. You were telling Poseidon was showing you where he does the self tapes
right here.
You know exactly. It's like it's.
Yeah, we got the camera set up. He does whatever he wants. No, it's a different age.
Different age, yeah.
Motherfucking. I wanted to talk to Vincent Guzzo anyway, to invite him on the show.
Sure.
I'm going to fucking invite him in the next month. Poseidon, get on that. Why not?
For sure, man.
Talk to him.
Yeah. Definitely. For sure, man. He's a definite. He could be a big asset to like the Montreal community here for film. Definitely.
And I like dudes like that did something from here.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't always the easiest place, Montreal. No one took us. We went through a period where they took us serious as a party town, but not as anything else.
Right.
And then after like the referendum years, people were like looking at us weird all across North America when all the companies moved out.
Yeah.
So I like when people
stay here, man.
And they build something.
It. Exactly. Look, if all those people hadn't moved out when they did, it would be a totally different landscape here in Quebec. Totally different landscape. They fucking panicked, knee-jerk reaction, took off. And
this was the real capital.
This was the real capital. And they could have stayed here and just say, no, look, this is not as bad as everybody makes it out to be.
Yeah.
Let's stay here and do like Vince Guzzo did and others like him, you know.
Fear is a motivator. That and motivated right, them to get the fuck out.
Yeah, it's wrong motivation.
Because this was, I hear from a lot of people that were making money during that time.
Yeah.
80s, 70s, and they were like, dude, you don't understand what this place was.
It was.
Everyone was jealous.
Everybody, of course.
Of Montreal.
It was like, look, all these big theaters that we have, we still have a couple of them, like the Rialto, the Imperial.
They were jammed.
They were jammed, but these were all, like, all the acts from New York, like the Sinatras and all of these, they would come up here in the 50s and early 60s. That's what it was. It took a turn when the FLQ crisis started in the late 60s. But, hey, Montreal, we had the first World's Fair, 1967.
Yeah.
One of the first, I think the first or one of the first in North America. We had the subway system, the metro, you know.
It's still better than most.
Better than most. Yeah. They built this in the mid-60s. They built fucking Man in His World, you know what I'm saying? It's like an island on St. Helens. It's like we were just booming.
You know what's impressive? You ever go to Place des Arts?
Absolutely, yeah.
How many, and I forget it until it's summertime and I have the festival to go, I always forget how there's theaters under theaters within like one of the theaters that I had done my show at 2 years ago at the festival.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Is it Claude Léveillé, Gilles? The one that's technically, it's under the other theaters. You're underground.
Yeah, they have
it's
all
crazy.
Different sizes. Saint-Quem-Salle, they have all kinds.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful, the shit that they have here.
Yeah, no, it really is. And what they did with that whole
Quartier de Spectacle. Yeah,
it's amazing. Really amazing.
Yeah. No, we do good stuff here. We do good. Hopefully there's like a renaissance. 100%,
yeah, and like I said, and it's not about French or English. There's room for everybody and then some. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's room for everybody. It's like it's just,
And you next... What are your
goals? Like I said, I'm finishing the movie that we did, and I'm finishing up a French television series that I'm on, and we finished that in January. immediate plans I don't really have, like other than continue.
Going with the flow.
Yeah, either continue writing. I mean, something always comes up in this business, you know. It's like I could be sitting here, I go check my phone, I got an audition tomorrow, I'm on a TV series next week. You know, it's just... the way it is.
You have a good agent?
Very good agent.
How long have you been with him?
With her? I've been with her since 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 5 years. Yeah.
Okay, so that's enough time to see whether they're...
Yeah, no, she's really good. I really like her. Yeah, we're on the same wavelength, which is very important.
Montrealer?
Montrealer, yeah. Yeah, she works a lot in French and in English. That's what I like about her.
Good. Yeah. You need that shit around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first ever agent turned out not to be a good agent.
Yeah.
I should have listened to Guido. He had told me, he's like, you're not going to like this.
Which, Grasso or Cocomelo?
It was Grasso.
Grasso.
Yeah. And then I was like, you're overreacting. And then I was like, this isn't good. Towards the end, she just kept asking me to do like the dumbest thing. She's like, do you want to play a pedophile? Do you want to do this? I was like, no, I don't want to play a pedophile. Thank you for that, though.
It's fine. It's too close to home.
Yeah, no. Well, my thing was, because it was the first time I was getting screen time.
Right.
And I was like, I can't have... the first time they see me in Quebec.
Just fucking raping a kid.
Yeah, because I'm trying to sell tickets to my comedy shows.
This is really fun stuff, guys. I swear to God, man.
Yeah, like this is crazy.
It's funny.
And then she's like, fine. Yeah, and the last thing she had sent me, she's like, do you want to do like an unpaid student film, full frontal nudity? And I was like, I don't think we're on the same wavelength. Oh, this is not going to work.
The world, they asked me that. I tell them, the world does not need to see this. Trust me, nobody needs to fucking see this. And
we're never getting gigs again.
Well, I was funny enough. there was one movie where they had asked me to do it, and it was written in the script, and I had said, yeah, I didn't read the whole fucking script properly, I guess, but I just showed up on set, and they go, well, you know, it says there that you should. I go, I'm not fucking showing my balls.
We don't. Really, you guys don't need this. This is going to cheapen the film.
I go, it really, it's not necessary at all. Trust
the
me.
The best is if they're like, you know? Dude, it's a porno. It's super necessary.
Okay, all right, now.
And you're like, look, I didn't know what I was signing up for.
Hey, you know, it's like.
I didn't read the. I read graphic. I didn't read porno in front of it. I just thought it was like a graphic novel. It was 300. I thought I was doing 300.
Glasses is like, you know, a whole bunch of shit. But here we are. All right, bring her on.
When in Rome.
That's it. Who's gonna fucking argue?
That'd be amazing to accidentally get booked for a porno, and then you're just arguing on set.
Yeah, I think I might steal that idea in one of my.
That's a funny. Write that down.
If it comes up in some place, you can.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. Just accidentally.
Accidentally signs up.
And now you're there, and you need the paycheck. Yeah. It's a starving actor. He's like, fuck.
And you got a small dick and you can't perform, and it's just like that. Okay.
And then they're like, look, you got to do this. And then you're like, you finally, you psych yourself up. You're erect, you're ready. And then as soon as you're getting ready, they remind you, like, no, this is a gay porno. And you're like, God damn it. You're like, this is too much. Yeah, there's a good sketch there.
It's a good sketch. It's a good one.
Especially because, dude, acting, especially, you know, in this city, the gigs don't always come back to back. So you have that period where you need money. So you're like,
Yeah.
I got to do this stupid gig.
It happens, you know, it happens. But thank God, like, I mean, you know, working both French and English and stuff and getting good roles, it keeps me going.
You ever do something that you're like, this is embarrassing? And then you're like, when my friends see it, they're going to make fun of me. But then you get lucky and it's just, it never airs or it's never, it happened to me.
Oh, yeah?
I did a commercial for a cell phone company. I'm trying to remember what it was called, an American one. It wasn't one of the big ones. It was like a new option one.
Right.
And they had me at one point, I was dressed like a fairy, jumping around, and it was terrible. I also did a lot of hand modeling for them. And then I was thinking, I go, this is going to be embarrassing. And I go, is this going to be like on TV? And they go, no, don't worry. It's going to be in print media, in magazines. I go, oh, that might be worse. And this was like 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. And they're like, it's going to come out during like Thanksgiving. And I waited and I was panicking. And nothing.
Oh, thanks.
So unless it's like...
I remember this.
You remember this?
Yeah.
So I got paid.
Closed down or something?
No, I got paid. I don't know what... It wasn't... What do we have as a... Bring up cell phone companies in the States. Imagine we click on it and my face is there.
I think the color scheme was purple.
Yeah, it was purple and blue. Yeah. It was... if you bring up cell phone companies, how many are there? 10 max? All cell phone providers in the U.S.
Well, I almost did one. And I'm so happy in retrospect that I didn't get the gig.
What was it?
It was a Listerine commercial.
Okay.
It was fucking back in like the 90s.
When you would get dressed up as gingivitis.
And so I was there and they liked the energy and they liked the thing. And I went for a call back and then it was between me and somebody else. And at that time, I guess I didn't give it much thought. If I would have got it, I would have done it. But I was so fucking happy. And when I saw the commercial on TV, I go, I'm glad I did not get this because
sometimes you can get
that. I never live it down.
Not only that, sometimes you might get the wrong person. They see you and they're like, that's all they see.
Exactly. Mr. fucking gingivitis. Evil gingivitis.
Was it mint? No, it wasn't mint. Boots? What's Visible? Go to Visible.
Hold on. We're having a
crisis. I want to find this. Now this might be my fault. We might end up finding something I don't want to be seen in.
Well, like, there you go.
But you know what? It is what it is.
It is what it is, man.
What are you looking at?
Own it.
Why don't you just go to like visible.com? I think it might be Visible. Because it rings a bell.
Oh, I think it's them.
It is, eh? Yeah, yes.
Kind of purple blue.
Yes. Click on it.
Your picture pops up.
Oh, that, because I remember that kind of like simple. Yeah, it's them. Now, oh, this is going to be funny.
Yeah.
I guess.
I was an extra for Freedom Mobile. But
go to About Us. Hold on. Okay, so you see these hand stuff?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a black guy's hand, but one of those is mine. One of those is fucking, or a few of those are mine. I did a lot for them. Oh my God, imagine I'm on this fucking site.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I hope to God not. Type in visible ad, I guess, in Google. Visible mobile ad. Fuck. If.
What year was this?
Oh, bro, I don't remember. It was like 3 years. Was it after pandemic or before?
I think it was
during, maybe.
Oh, there's something. Is that a commercial?
No, me, it was photos. It was
Okay, they didn't do a... Okay.
Okay, so some of those hands, I guarantee you're going to find my hand. I was holding, it was more food, noodles and shit. But this is the company because it was all the... Yeah, keep scrolling. We might see... type in Thanksgiving. Because I think they said it was going to be like a Thanksgiving ad. Oh, this is. Oh, we're getting somewhere. That was during the time when that guy was the spokesperson, I remember. So go down. Okay, so it's really...
I guess they didn't publish anything.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe not, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was for Thanksgiving.
or Christmas typing. Maybe they used it for Christmas. Oh, there's more ads.
You have Arabic tattoos?
No, that's not. No, mine, it came out. It's one of the ones that you saw there. It was, okay. So look, so far, so good.
So far, so good. You're safe, man.
So far, but you're going to have a fan who listened to this and he's going to go down a rabbit hole.
Someone's going to find it.
Going to find it, yeah. I looked ridiculous.
The next couple of days after this podcast comes out.
But they paid me. Like, it's not like it was a scam or anything. They had paid me, and so I got what I got.
That's amazing.
I did the hand stuff. I was holding... So I got lucky because I was so upset after I did it.
They really didn't publish it because even I type in with food...
Even noodle stuff's not there.
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely. What else?
Oh, what a waste of money.
All these big companies, bro.
Yeah, they. Somebody changes their idea of like the.
The concept of what they want.
Or exactly how they want to go about this and the whole campaign. And then all of a sudden, everything they did is.
But I remember they were laughing because I was like, at one point, because I'm always myself. So I was like, I had the butterfly catcher. And I said, what the fuck does that have to do with cell phones? Seriously, for real. And they were laughing. Like, it's just what they, it's a concept.
It's a concept.
I was like, I look insane. But you have, so I'm lucky that, unless it's like international, but I doubt, I think it's only in North America.
It would come up, even if it were.
I feel like it would come up. But I remember they said it's going to be in print media. So it's, I thought it was going to be like in those airport, you know, in the airplane magazines.
Right.
That's, I still have that concept in my head.
Yeah.
So visible
by. If it's on Reddit.
Oh, then I'd get a little pissed.
Next time I fly to the States, I'll check.
You just see me. You're like, look at this idiot.
What the fuck?
And I was like 80 pounds heavier too.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, it's a big difference. you won't even be able to tell me apart. But yeah, I have there's always some fun stories like that. Like you do stuff, like it's a good experience, but people don't know all the work. It's so annoying. Like just being on set.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's happened. It's happened.
Where you're there all day for a 1 minute thing, but you still have that call time. You still got to be there. There's a lot of shit that goes into
this. American productions, some of them. Like I worked on The Day After Tomorrow.
Mm.
That huge.
The apocalyptic fucking exactly. Joey Elias. Everyone was in that shit.
Yeah, Joey Elias. Yeah. Fuck. Joey and I were in all the scenes together. Okay. I cannot tell you the shit we used to have, the fun we used to have, because 90% of our time was just fucking hanging out.
Busting
each other's balls. And every morning he would come in and he would put an earworm, you know, as he would give me a song that I couldn't get out of my fucking head. Just to fuck with me.
Yeah, Poseidon, this, New York.
I saw this, I remember.
Montreal doubles for New York a lot in film.
Yeah, but the stuff they did, man, this was impressive. Like at Mel's studio, they rebuilt the exterior of the New York Library, the interior of the New York Library. In one of the studios.
This is Longueuil, right?
It's on right off before Nanzai Technopark. The Technopark.
Oh, yeah, the Mel's Cinema Studios. Mel's Cinemas,
exactly. So they have two studios down there.
They have exactly, Mel's Studios, which is more for like shows.
I went to the one I had done a spot in that cop show. The one that's like close to Saint-Hubert, like South Shore. It's next to like a police station. Which is crazy because they have a real police station two blocks away from a fake police station.
There I filmed there a lot of times.
That's amazing.
A lot of times.
I didn't know we even had that in Montreal.
Part of Mel's now? I didn't know it was part of
Mel's. Isn't it Mel's?
It is Mel's.
It's Mel's, right?
It's Mel's now.
It's
yeah,
Mel's,
yeah.
And then they have Mel's Cinema Studios where they do all the movies. They have humongous studios that are like, I don't know how many feet
that's
high.
That's the one in Techno Park, and they also have another one near the casino.
Mm.
Like right there nearby the casino.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I love this kind of shit.
Sorry, that's the one. That one's...
The one
that
I'm talking about.
Yeah, near the casino is the one where they have they do the shows and stuff.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
and
they
build sets in there and they keep them. And because I remember walking in and I was like...
That's the one.
It's a police station.
Yeah, yeah. That is Mel's. I thought you were talking about this other studio. It used to be an old army barracks, I think.
And it turned into a studio.
In St. Hubert. Right near the St. Hubert Airport.
Oh, get the fuck out.
Yeah. That was there I've also filmed a few times. Yeah.
We have good stuff here, man.
We have a lot of good stuff, yeah.
There's another one I'm gonna check out on Friday. One of my buddies, he used my old manager, actually, and then he left managing. It's close to Chambly. And essentially, from what he told me, it's like, I think it's like a Christian, you know, Christian TV, Christian radio type of company. And they're huge, but I never heard of them.
Right.
And I think they do English and French. And they have these studios. He goes, they're fully equipped to do movies. They just don't do anything with it right now.
Right.
So I'm going to go check them out on Friday, see what they have.
Yeah.
So I could talk with them if they want to.
Chambly,
Yeah, so that area. Okay. It's like 35 minutes from the bridge.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go check out on Friday. I'm very curious to see. Because he was telling me, he goes, you understand, we have everything here. You have to come take a look at it. Like it's a real movie production studio.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let's take a look.
But Mel's, I'm telling you, was impressive.
Oh, Mel's amazing.
All that stuff that you see at the beginning, the flood.
That was practical.
It was all there. Yeah. I'm telling
they
you.
They flooded man. The
they
studio?
They flooded the fucking studio. We were,
no!
I swear to God.
Three Indian men died.
We were, at least. Oh, but that's, but somebody, like, we would be wearing our costume, and under our costume, we had, like, the boots, like, full rain gear, all stuff to be, but no matter what, you're in the water for fucking 8 hours, you're going to get wet.
And cold.
And, like, they'd hate it, like, when people had to go to the bathroom because it was a whole fucking production to take everything off and stuff. And I heard stories.
Just piss your pants, bro.
Yeah, I heard stories where some of the extras, they actually fucking pissed themselves because they just couldn't move from there.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is realistic. I mean, if you were, you'd piss yourself if that happened.
If, no kidding, man. But I'm telling you, the stuff, like, they had fucking buses, cars, everything, like, in the fucking studio. You would think it was like,
So we're, I mean, we're equipped. If there's the money, like, if a Hollywood production wants to come here, fuck, we can do anything.
For sure. And Montreal has a good reputation for having really, really good technicians. Because a lot of the people that work on the French side, they are like the top in the business.
Because they're always working all year round because of the showbiz.
And they stay here because they like to work in French and they like to work on their own French productions. But these are the same type of level of like...
Super talented
people that you would find anywhere else in this business. And that's why they love it here. The level of technicians is just spot on.
You know what I thought of doing last night? Crazy idea. I thought of running for mayor of Montreal.
Fucking right, man.
You know why?
Because
I was thinking about it. I was telling him, and it's not a crazy plan. When the current mayor, when she won, it was because no one was... Do you remember no one was running?
Yeah.
And there was
that's
what... She's like, I don't know anything about politics.
Exactly, yeah.
And she won. Now everyone hates her.
Yeah.
There's not really any competition. I feel like it's the right place,
right time, man.
To step in there.
That was for mayor.
But I would never stop doing what I'm doing. I would be mayor, but I would still be a comedian, do my podcast. I wouldn't stop.
Exactly.
I would just make, reduce taxes, get rid of these fucking bike lanes.
Politics in itself is a fucking comedy. So
there you go.
I mean, I'll get all the material.
Nowadays, especially.
I've been thinking about it. I think it would be hilarious.
Get the buttons, man. I'll wear one.
Yeah, it would be amazing. We'd get all these actors and comedians to just endorse me.
Fucking right.
Reduce city taxes.
Yeah. Get rid of all the flour. Well, I don't know.
No. I'd keep fucking beautification,
but
I would just get rid of all these dumb jobs that don't matter.
And they gotta do something better with the bike lanes, man.
Nah, this is stupid.
I have nothing against cyclists. I really don't have anything against that. It's just it's poorly fucking administered.
That's what it is.
It's poorly
administered.
Rushed. You can go down Saint Denis. It's one lane now. And you could drive from one end of the city to the other, and you're going to be hard-pressed to find one cyclist using those bike lanes.
Because it's not in a spot for where cyclists like to go. It's crazy.
It's exactly. It's like...
Why
do they have to be permanent in the fucking winter? You don't ride your bike.
As your mayor, I would rectify all of this.
You got my vote.
Here's my plan. Because I found out, I did some research in the middle of the night, Poseidon, and that's how I roll. In order to run for mayor, you need 65 other candidates.
Oh,
like signatures?
Candidates. Because I think you need them representing you in every riding.
So like a party.
You need a party kind of
your own party. Okay.
And also, you need, obviously, it takes money, but the only money that you're allowed to get is individual donors, and they could only give you a max of $100 each. So you got to get out. There's kind of like a Patreon. I just ask the fans and go out there and be like, let's raise some money, do fundraisers. We can do fundraisers easy. Right. We'll do one event, comedy show, bring everyone, pay money. That I got an idea for that. What I was thinking is, for the 65 candidates, Poseidon, I go and I visit the ex-mayor, Denis Coderre. Mm-hmm. Tell him who are the best fucking people you had in your team. Which one? 50 people? Give me this. They're part of my party. They're rewriting. Fill in the other 15 spots.
Yeah.
And just go and dominate. Because everyone hates her now.
Yeah, no, I know.
This is the time.
Yeah, it is.
Like it's doable. Poseidon, we could be joking right now and they're going to use this video in 2 years.
In 2 years.
This is like, what's his face there? The president.
Trump.
Trump.
No. This is the same thing. This is Trump.
Trump. Trump.
This is my White House correspondence dinner.
Trump and Nixon.
Yeah. It sounds.
That's what I'm down.
There's no one else running against her. That's how she won last time.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, the turnout for these elections, like not even 30%. You know what I'm saying? Of the people eligible voters.
We're going to get all our fans to go out. That's even more.
Exactly. That's even
we'll
more.
We'll do every podcast, every radio
exactly.
show.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Get everybody that.
Yeah, you know? True, eh? Yeah.
Dude, we're gonna win for sure.
Other politicians don't want to do podcasts.
No. Not only would I do, I would do all the radio. I don't care. I have nothing to hide. I'm not corrupt. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to catch all these cocksuckers.
Exactly. Yeah. Throw them in jail. Fuckers. Yeah.
Yep. I'm for lowering taxes.
Damn right.
Lowering, getting rid of all the jobs that don't matter.
Yep.
Make sure that the schools are getting funded, the streets are fixed.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm going to get the bottom of the street fixing thing for real, though.
I know, eh?
I'm corrupt, but I don't hide it either. I'm corrupt, but I don't hide it either. Just throw me a few bones and I'm happy.
Yeah.
Jail.
I'm pretty sure I can get you some help with
construction. That's okay? A good thing. I know a lot of Italians.
I can get you some help with the construction.
We're going to get it done. I'm telling you, we're going to get it done.
Just give me the contract, so I'll take care of all your roads for you, all right?
I got this.
All right.
We use the proper cement, finally.
Yeah, yeah,
it sounds so ridiculous. I really think we could throw a wrench in the system because no one turns out for that stuff.
I know, it's true. Fucking crazy, man. It's fucking nuts.
It's not. It's out there. It's kind of crazy, but you know what?
It's crazy, but it's crazy doable. It's not crazy I'm going to build a spaceship, go to the moon. It's not like that.
No, I know.
It's within the realm of possibility.
Already you need a platform.
I have the platform.
Exactly. And you also need a vision of how you want to see the city.
So exactly.
Like you said, you know, nothing against bikes, nothing against bike lanes, none of that shit, but they have to be adequate to work in harmony with everything else that we need done, like the streets being fixed and like, you know, traffic flowing properly and all this other kind of shit.
Also parking meters?
Yeah.
Forget that they put it to 11 p.m. That goes back to 9. I might even put it earlier. And I want to give exemptions.
Yeah.
I want to give exemptions. You know how people have stickers for where they live?
They live, exactly.
I want to get exemptions for people who are going to work. So if you work at a place,
you can get
get an exemption. So you don't have to pay for the meter outside every 2 hours because you're at work.
Exactly.
Make the city more livable for people.
Exactly. And it's the same thing. Like people, like I live in the Mile End, right? And so like on the side streets, you need permits. And on the main streets, like St. Vader, Bernard, these places, they have meters. But I fucking live there. If I don't find parking near my house,
you should be able to park.
I be able to park there with my sticker.
Exactly. Things like that I would change.
Why can't they? You know what I'm saying?
But these are all doable. They just don't want
to. They just don't want to because it's a cash grab.
They need the money because they overspend on nonsense. Like that's exactly. $2 million for that cock ring that they have downtown, which is useless. So, and they justify a lot of jobs that are useless.
Yeah.
I would cut all that shit. Exactly. If it's a useless job, I don't want it. This money, if I could give back to school programs, I'd rather do that than give 100% money for useless. I don't need 50 people giving tickets to... I don't need that shit.
It's free money for the people that work there. And there's really no accountability for these people to why they're spending this money, why they're hiring all these other people, all these bureaucrats and functionaries.
Doesn't work like that for me.
Exactly. It's like, do your job, man.
In Montreal, you can, if you want to do a fire in your backyard, you know, to roast marshmallows. Right. You can do it again.
I'm telling you, I'm not joking. I'm thinking about it right now. I'll go to Suzukut, the most watched show in the fucking province.
Yeah.
Fucking Mike show. I can campaign. I think I'll be the mayor.
Dude, you have my support.
Well, look, man.
That's the only thing working against me.
And all the other deadbeats you have on the show.
Yeah. These fucking guys. It can't be any worse than what it is right now.
I can't be seen with this guy, man.
That's going to be my campaign. I'll be like, look, it can't get any worse. I guarantee you that. It won't get any worse.
It won't get any worse.
There's potential for progress. Right. That's what I'm selling. Potential for progress.
But from here, the only way is up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly can't go any
further. Oh, we're laughing about it now, but I might do it. I'm very motivated.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
If I can get these 65 candidates, I'm going to do this
if
shit.
If I fucking see this shit, I'll crap myself.
Wait, it'll be amazing. I've seen crazier things happen.
Yeah, Donald Trump being president.
Donald Trump is way crazier than this.
Crazier than this.
That's the United Seriously, States of America.
It's a fucking U.S., man. It's yeah. like, it's
Even
real.
He didn't believe he won the
yeah,
first
no,
time.
Yeah, no.
That was the best. He's like, what the fuck?
He walked out confused.
I got a fucking job now every day. What is this?
The president of the U.S., the greatest empire ever.
Yeah.
This is insane.
All right. I guess I'm in charge.
Yeah, and then he's like, can you tell him about the aliens? They're like, you don't need to know that. He's like, fuck, okay, I'm not in charge of anything. They won't. That's another cool thing. A lot of presidents report that when they ask about UFOs, they get Bill Clinton has it in his autobiography. He says, what can you tell them about UFOs? And they said, all the information we have on that is on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know.
Really?
Imagine saying that to the president. And then he said, I never asked about it again.
Wow.
Crazy, eh?
But that would be the thing I'd want to know the most.
Me too. I would.
It's like, I'd like to know what the fuck. I want to go to Area 51.
What's happening?
I want to see this place.
I hear too many rumors.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it aliens? Is it interdimensional beings? Are we talking? Are we not? What's happening? Just tell me the truth.
I need to know. Yeah. This is the kind of thing I need to know. I need to know if there's other life out there. That's my thing, man.
Apparently there is.
I have to think so.
Apparently there is, but I keep hearing two different versions
of it. I have to think so because, I mean, how arrogant of us to think that we're the only beings in this vast universe that's like probably hundreds of thousands just like Earth all over the place. How can we just think that we're the only ones?
Have you seen all the disclosure stuff happening now? They keep releasing little videos, UFO. It's like they're trying to condition us to get ready to hear something big. Tucker Carlson said something interesting last week. Because he was looking into it.
Yeah.
And I forgot some guy from the military talking, and he spoke about it. He goes, look, a lot of credible people are saying it, this and that.
Yeah.
He goes, but there's two things. He goes, what did you find out? They asked him, and he said, I don't want to talk about it. He says two things. Number one of the stuff that I was told is so hard for me to understand. I don't fully get it. And the other one is so scary. I don't even want to tell my wife.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, what the fuck? And he's not like a, like he tries to stay credible.
Right.
So he wouldn't just say that because he knows it's going to make him look crazy. But he goes, look, and these are credible people. He goes, and one of it, I don't even understand. It's so high level. I'm like, what the fuck? And the other one is so scary. I don't want to even tell my wife.
That is scary.
That's fucking super. Because you tell your wife, you're like, look, I found out there's aliens.
Well, yeah, but I told my wife in case. Oh, God, there's a killed over and
he
died.
He found something out so crazy about this stuff that he doesn't want to tell his wife.
That's crazy.
It's insane, yes. Something's happening.
I hope so. Because, like, I'd love to see aliens. I'd love to.
As mayor, they won't tell me anything.
No, I know, fuck you. You're on a need-to-know basis, you know. But if you find anything out, you know, it's like, think of me.
We're joking about it, but as mayor, I would also reduce. I would give them tax credits to film movies here to get the industry hopping in. More money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would get rid of Formula One.
Would you?
Just to fuck with people.
Oh, now you don't have my support
anymore. I wouldn't get rid of Formula One. The reason why I can't get rid of it is it brings in too much money.
It does, but so do movies.
Movies too? No, I wouldn't. So the movies, 100%.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? It's like it helps not only the people that you hire, but all the spin-off business, the hotels, the restaurants, all
everyone's
that stuff,
eating.
You know?
The actors from here, they're getting experience. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Poseidon, that's why you got to vote for me.
Yeah, that would be a big thing.
My vote.
That would be a big thing.
Yeah, seriously. You never know. We joke about it now, but I've done crazier things.
Well, there you go, fuck all. When's the next election?
I have no idea.
Let's see.
Yeah, find out. Let's Google that. Yeah, why aren't we Googling?
Yeah. When's the next
Montreal mayoral election?
Election, exactly.
Because you got to give me a couple of months to set up.
Well, at least. You got to get your 65 candidates. And you know what? With you being in the business that you're in and your podcast, you know a lot of people.
I know a lot of people.
A lot of people that like would be able to do good representation for you, you know?
Not just that. I would actually be able to make a bit of a difference because I know enough people, enough places that we could work together to get shit done. And I do love the city. Like, I want this place to be good.
Hold on.
Do they have like...
Oh.
Do they call it at will here? Or?
Hey, is it... Did it happen just now?
No, that's Burrow.
Oh, sorry. When to vote? Voting on election day, Sunday, December 17, 2023. Election period.
Just a few days ago.
Yeah, like November 3rd to December 17th.
Really? Who the fuck voted? I never heard about this.
I didn't. This is the first
thing. Yeah, this is. I think this is for the individual boroughs, like maybe Park X,
maybe.
Provincial? No. I'm gonna ask George because he did all this shit.
It's a municipal, but
yeah. Oh, 2025. Montreal prepares for 2025 municipal elections. There you go. There you go.
2 years. A year and a half. You have time.
So you got time. You got time.
Okay, I gotta get on. I gotta get on this. This is doable, bro.
It yeah, is. 2025. Okay, it yeah. The other thing was boroughs, I think.
Yeah, this is doable. Yeah. I would blow everyone out of the water.
I think so.
There's no... apart from the current mayor, I never heard of anyone else running for mayor right now.
No.
Denis Coderre almost died, so he's not going.
Didn't he say he might... He was thinking of maybe...
This is for elected officials.
Literally, I Googled Denis Coderre. He had a stroke in March or May.
No shit.
Yeah, and then he tried to kill himself. So I don't think he's in any condition to run for office.
He tried to kill himself.
That's what I read, yeah. Type that in. Denis Coderre suicide.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's an online rumor. Depression et tentative de suicide. What?
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow, look at that.
But what I would do is I would tap him to work with me. I'd be the figurehead as the mayor. A young dude.
Keep him away from any sharp objects.
Keep him away from
like
sharp
that.
Objects. Motivate him. He'd be my consigliere.
That's it.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. You gotta get people with experience to help out.
100%.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would work with this guy, get his old candidates, take over the city.
God damn, he tried to off himself.
Bro, depression's the worst, dude.
Ah, poor guy, bro.
Yeah. That's why you gotta fucking stay positive out there.
Yeah.
Even him.
So I guess the stroke set him off on a tailspin. Like
that would happen. Like you're able-bodied, you do so much, and then one day your body's like, nah.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't want to cooperate. Yeah. It doesn't
a lot of the kids in the States have been dying, Poseidon. So I said dropping dead.
Oh.
Yeah. And we don't know. They're saying this never happened before, so people are like, yo, is it the vaccines?
I have an
idea. People are getting nervous. Because that's the only thing that was introduced to their...
I heard, because of respiratory problems, kids and stuff. Heard something like that, yeah.
I hope it's not because of the vaccines, because that would be...
That would suck.
That would suck. But then again, everyone has different reactions when you get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Some people, it's just...
Yeah.
Some people... I remember some people, they get vaccinated every year for the flu, mm-hmm. and the second they get it, they get super sick or whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Others don't get vaccinated, or others do, and they don't feel anything. It depends on your body. We're all so different.
We're all so different, exactly. It's kind of like a one-size-fits-all thing.
Doesn't work. But I think soon with technology, because we're starting to understand the human genome so well...
Yeah.
We're going to be able to target specific things for you.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with blood types, you would think that with the blood types themselves, they could make some kind of distinction. You know?
There is, but they don't say it because I remember even... Do you remember during COVID, Poseidon, when they figured out that the people that were not getting affected by COVID, do you remember this? It was a certain blood type but they wouldn't say what it was.
Yeah.
I think they did that on purpose so that you don't know, so you can't say my blood type, leave me alone, I don't want to get back. That's why I think they did it.
Yeah. Very possible.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I never got COVID. And I had gotten the vaccine, and I got both of them. Both times, it's like nothing happened to me.
Yeah.
Even with the vaccine.
I got my vaccines and nothing, no...
I didn't get sick. I worked for 9 hours right after.
Yeah. The same thing. Like, my arm was sore for like a couple hours.
Yeah, I had the soreness.
And that's it. But after that, nothing. I got my shots. And...
How do you know your blood type?
You go get a blood test. And you ask for it. You have to check it on the box.
Yeah.
I don't know my blood type because I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, my wife knows my blood type. I don't.
It's written somewhere. For sure, my blood type is written somewhere. But I remember when I asked, they had made a big deal about not telling me, and I was really upset.
Why?
She goes, because I go to her, what's my blood type? And she goes, you didn't check that box. So I go, but you have my medical files. It's like a private clinic. You guys have to, you tell me inside, like, they didn't do that test, or you don't want to tell me. She goes, no, you didn't ask for it. You have to pay for it and do this. And I go, but do you know? And I was asking, is it written in there in a file? And you could tell
somewhere,
me.
Somewhere, yeah.
And they were making a big deal about not telling me.
Oh, this is interesting. Our study found that being of blood group B was a predictor of developing more severe forms of side effects after vaccination. It is also possible to read such findings from the opposite perspective, saying group A individuals.
That doesn't make any sense, but no. Your blood determines a lot. Your DNA is so crazy. The stuff that's 100%. Stored in there.
Yeah, no, I know. It's crazy.
It's like a hard drive.
Yeah, it is.
Crazy stuff.
It does. It affects all, like your diet, like certain diets are better for certain blood types. and all of this kind of.
Have you done? I want to pay to do it. I think it's like $300. Poseidon, I forgot the name of that test. There's a test that they could do on you, and it scans everything, and they tell you a list. They go, you shouldn't be eating this. This will make you fat. This will make you. You shouldn't be taking this. Yeah. You're susceptible to alcoholism. They could tell everything now.
Yeah. I want
to
do that.
Yeah, a lot of the a lot of famous people that are good in business, like they have their shit together. They all get this done and they change their lifestyle based on that. It tells you everything. Yeah. They go, dude, you map it out and it tells you this is why you feel this way. This is why you do this. It says everything. I forgot what it's fucking called. Yeah. Patrick Bet-David talked about it. He
Does
did
it
one.
Say your sexuality? Because I wouldn't want to do it then.
Because then we're all going to know.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag.
You got to keep them clear of animals.
Yeah, that's it.
Sexy giraffes.
Yeah, fuck, I'm telling you. It's that neck.
But it's so interesting how much they could tell from just your DNA. Whether you're susceptible to certain diseases.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. It's crazy. For sure, it is.
Do you guys think there's like a DNA that's stronger than other DNAs where like you have almost no weaknesses? Sure. You can eat almost anything? And
for sure.
There's got to be. Look, it's just, I got an uncle, who's two uncles that are 97 years old. My mom is 96. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
So her mom died at 102. You know what I'm saying? So it's like there's, and they didn't do anything. It wasn't the generation. They're old Italians. It wasn't the generation of like, go to the gym.
No, they just ate better.
Yeah, but even they've been here for like 50 years or say they've been here since the
good
50s.
Genes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, and like they got into all of that stuff and they ate the fucking meat and the cold cuts and the pasta and the, you know, all the olive oils and all of that. You know what I'm saying? It's like they ate all of that stuff. And drank their wine and their booze and whatnot, but yet here they are, you know.
Well, look at us, Poseidon. You can eat through concrete.
Yeah.
Seeing me sick is a very rare sight once every couple of years. Phil, the director next to us, he has the flu every 3 days.
Yeah.
He smells milk, he's going to shit his pants.
It's true.
It's like,
I forgot about that.
I have 57 coffees a day, nothing affects me. I could drink coffee and then go to sleep. I do whatever I want. Exactly, and other people, blow on them and they're dying.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. It's genetics. That's all it is.
It is. 100%. So what are those genetics from? You know, is it like the individual? Is it the...
I wonder how much of it... Like, let's say you have a father who, all the way down the line, always good genetics.
Right.
And then you have a mother, always shit genetics. When they mix, I wonder if the dominant one is like, okay, now the kid's going to be good. Or it's like a roll the dice.
Yeah.
So you have two kids. One is sick all the time.
The other
is strong. Or I wonder how that works.
I don't know.
I'm sure they do know, but they don't tell us. But we could probably find out. But I'm going to do that test.
I don't know how that works or if the two would like kind of balance each other out and you kind of like, you know, have a, not a fucking weakling and not a Superman either.
Like there's
little. Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know.
But then if that was happening, then how would the strong DNA come back? I think the strong might always take over.
I always think that, the more dominant one would be the stronger one.
Yeah.
I would think so. I
mean, and then you have strong people that keep fucking?
You know, but I'll tell you something. Again, I going back to my mom's family, she's 96, her brother's 97, she has a sister who's 88. Okay, she's the young one. She had three other brothers. They both died at late 50s, early 60s.
Oh, shit.
So, seriously, 3-3. You know what I'm saying?
50-50 then.
And the father died at 80 and the mother died at 102.
God damn.
So you know what I'm saying? It's like, go figure how this happens, you know? It's like,
sometimes it's a roll of the dice. Look at Brock Lesnar. You know Brock Lesnar?
No.
So I pull up a picture of Brock Lesnar.
Oh, God.
He looks like he's from another world.
Really?
He is...
Oh, fuck. What is he, a wrestler?
Yeah, he's a wrestler. He's a UFC fighter.
Okay, all right.
He's just an insane force of a man. Now, type in right after that. His daughter is in school right now. She just broke some records. Daughter, look at DNA. That's 100% his daughter.
Holy.
There's no DNA test needed.
His son.
She broke the shot put record in her school.
Well, no shit, man. She could fucking
shot put genetics.
Me.
Yeah. That's Jesus genetics, H. man.
That's fucking genetics.
So that is crazy.
I don't know if you guys remember the show The Beverly Hillbillies when Jethreen used to dress up as Jethreen. That's exactly what this looks like.
It looks fake. I thought it was like an internet meme, but I looked into it. I even saw the video. She's a real girl. She's super dominant.
The man is a Viking.
Yeah, she's dominant, and she's she got it clearly genetics from her father.
No shit, man.
Yeah, she's going to be a wrestler for sure or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A fighter. She's
and he has insane strength.
Mm.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy's just a phenom.
So he does also real fighting like
Yeah, he was in UFC. The UFC. Yeah, he was a champion.
Okay.
He's ragdolls people.
No shit, man.
Yeah, he's crazy. So... And he's such a, like, he's, from all the interviews and shit, he's like a calm, like, good dude. He doesn't want, he's American. He bought a farm in Calgary, and he lives in Calgary most of the time. He lives in Alberta, or somewhere close to Calgary, something like that, or Edmonton. And he has his farm there. He has animals. He likes doing farming. He doesn't like a, he's not like a flashy guy. Yeah,
peaceful, yeah.
You don't see him in a Lamborghini or anything. Yeah. The guy's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, it's like I saw the David Beckham documentary.
It made me really like David Beckham.
Fuck, me too. And like but that just brought me back to like the simple, the guy loves to spend like hours in his outdoor kitchen, fucking around with a little bit of this, a little bit of that, staying at home, chill. He didn't strike me as that type of guy.
No, we all thought he was going to be a flash guy because he was always in the media. But the reason why is because they were so obsessed. They were so soccer hungry.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the people put him in the media like that, you know. And
oh, that was him at the... Yeah, he was... I think he went to the Olympics too. Yeah, this guy is a... Yeah, this is a real Viking.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He's a force of nature.
Yeah, he's a force of nature. That's the best way you can put it, yeah.
Look at that.
I remember seeing videos of him lifting referees from the belt and tossing them into the ring. Like
else.
They were nothing.
Larry Wheels. Oh, this guy was the old champion. Larry Wheels. He was using the roids. Yeah, yeah. Look, he was, dude, he was playing for the Vikings.
Look at him. Look at
this.
This is insane.
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. Yeah, but he's an athlete's athlete.
Yeah.
He just likes training, being.
Yeah.
God, that's Mark Henry. He used to be the world's strongest man.
Holy Jesus. These guys are scary, fuck.
Yeah, they're big. Imagine, dude, just a dumbbell of 690 pounds.
That's ridiculous.
Deadlift 700 pounds, four sets, six reps. That's
Yeah, no, it's a lot. So this is genetics. Anyways, yeah. T, where are you a big social media guy?
No, not at all, unfortunately.
You don't give a fuck about that.
I don't give a fuck about it at all. I mean,
so the next project that we're going to tell people to kind of be patient and wait for and be excited is the film.
Is the film, yeah. The play was called The Glam Mothers.
The Glam Mothers. And what's the movie called?
I think we're calling it For Gracie.
For Gracie?
For Gracie.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's something to do with the movie, I'm guessing.
Exactly, 100%.
Script,
it's 100%. It makes more, in the movie, it makes more sense than in the play to call it that,
Okay, For Gracie. And I want you to come back.
I will, I promise, man.
Yeah, we're going to do a promo run for that.
Yeah, I'd love that. I really, really would, man. It was a lot of fun.
You're super welcome.
Yeah, you know, I'll call you anytime I got something. I'll call you, and I like the coffee too.
You gotta call me. You better prepare voting for me, because as your mayor, I'm gonna make sure we make a lot more movies goddamn city.
And get the fucking snow cleaned in a timely manner.
Number one. Number one priority is fucking snow.
You know, it's like it causes so much pollution. Cars having to be stuck in traffic.
True.
Seriously.
I'm with you.
You know,
and what else are we going to do? Pay extra, get the snow out of here.
Get it out, man, you know, and like I said, and now people spinning wheels and burning gas and like warming up and forget it, man. Get it out. Fuck.
Heated driveways.
Also, I'm going to be
heated roads.
I'm going to be very strict against pedophiles.
Yeah.
Convicted pedophiles, we ship them off island.
So
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to swim your way back.
That's it.
Whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens.
If you swim your way back, we'll let you go to prison.
Yeah, fucking send them to Laval. Let's see. Who cares? Fucking send them
to Laval. Filled with degenerates.
It's already a fucking degenerate. All the people, why is he saying that about Laval?
You know why.
You know.
Sent to Stash,
there.
You too.
I've been
you
too. Exact. Saint Stash, all you
disgust me. All right, well, T, thank you so much.
Hey, man, thank you guys for having me. It's a blast, I tell you.
We built this prison cell, 'cause we can't trust ourselves.